7 p.m. Oh my, it's holiday season. Happy all the stuff. Christmas, Merry Christmas, and Happy Hanukkah, and Happy Kwanzaa, and Happy everything else you can probably think of. Just happy happiness. And even if you don't celebrate anything, be happy. Lots of reasons to be happy. Reasons to be horrified and afraid. Always, always. But the bottom line is, we are here and we're going to enjoy our life as best we can. That's the way I see it right now. You know, we got plenty to talk about. Of course, we have plenty to talk about. But one quick minute before we get started, I want to remind you, and I'm going to do this a couple times during the show. I'm not going to go on forever because, you know, the people on this show really help out. But we are in fund drive. Don't forget, it's the end of the year. And if you want to donate some tax deductible money, look, you got to donate it somewhere, right? So why not WPFW 89.3 FM? Perfect place. You got lots of money. You want to get rid of some, even if you only got a little bit, you need a tax deduction. We're just trying to help you. That's all. And we're also trying to help you keep us on the air because, you know, there's a lot of people out here listening to WPFW, enjoying it, that don't really have anything, can't afford it. They would if they could, but they can't. And they really deserve the programming here, the independent programming, the people who play great music, the people who just come on and howl at the moon like me, whatever we all have to say. But it's great that we have a place in Washington, D.C. that says, hey, you can say things that you're not allowed to say on a mainstream movie. I mean, mainstream news or anything like that. I think that's fantastic. And it is something that we should all cherish. So what I need you to do, those of you who have a phone handy, hopefully you do, call us at 202-588-9739. That's 202-588-9739. We've got people standing by right now. You can call in and donate. As always, you know, the most important thing I say, we're going to get going in a second. The most important thing I say is this. There's a lot of people listening and people really step up who don't have a dime. Who don't have anything, don't even know how they're going to stay warm, listening out, you know, they're outside somewhere, they're cold, but they're listening to WPFW. They may be sleeping in their car, but they're able to listen to WPFW, but they can't donate anything. And they deserve the opportunity to hear the offerings of this great community station. So those of you who can, if you got $50, there are those who have $100, there's those who have $500. There are people right now listening that could donate $1,000 and wouldn't even know it was gone. $10,000, wouldn't even know it was gone. Could just do it. That's end of the year. Got a couple extra hundred, couple extra thousand, whatever. I might as well donate it to PFW. I need a tax deduction, right? Those of you who can afford to, think about those who can't. And in this time of year, the Christmas season, the Christmas spirit, when you're doing things to help the less fortunate, is a perfect time to call 202-588-9739, 202-588-9739. During the holiday season, when people are cold, people are hungry, people don't know how they're going to pay their bills, it's an opportunity for you to at least help provide one respite, one warm place for them to go in the cold. And that's WPFW 89.3 FM in Washington, D.C. Thank you very much, particularly for those who, as I say, and you know who you are. You're listening, you know, you're like, yeah, he always talking to me. I'm kind of loaded. I got a lot of money and I really could do 200, 500, 1,000, 5,000. I could if I choose. It's that time of year to choose. Not just for me, not just for you. But remember, how many thousands of people are listening who don't have anything? Think of them. 202-588-9739. All right. So let's, you know, we talk about everything. A couple of things. Venezuela, certainly, you know, a place that's dear to my heart. I've been there. You know, love the people of Venezuela. Of course, the U.S. government, Trump and the U.S. government crew is doing their evil deeds, as always, trying to steal the oil. Yes, we're going to go in there for what was it at first? Drugs. And then we're like, oh, you know what? We're going to I think maybe we'll block a couple oil tankers. Oh, wait a minute. They took our oil. Now, if you may recall, as soon as the U.S. did anything, in fact, several years back, I've always said the same thing. They want to steal the oil. I've always been like this. To look at the countries that the U.S. is at odds with, you'll generally find two things. Number one, they're an independent country, a country that it will not bend to the whims of the U.S. empire. Number one, they're going to be independent and they don't listen to us. Number two, they probably got oil or something similar. They probably have something that the U.S. wants. No probably about it. And in order to do that, they got to cook up a lie for you. Now, you might believe that it's about weapons of mass destruction. You might believe it's about oil. Now, the one thing I hope, now, and I say this, if you believe it's about weapons of mass destruction, that somebody has weapons of mass destruction, I fault you for that. And I say, we've already been down that road. Don't believe that again. You know, if you believe it's for, I don't know, protecting the people from a dictator or democracy, then I'm going to fault you. Now I'm going to fault you. I'm going to say, no. I would have more respect for somebody who says, well, you know, Garland, I think we're involved in this war because of weapons of mass destruction. I wouldn't like it, but I would say, well, at least you got took on that one time. You got an excuse. But anybody who thinks that the United States government, a government that just randomly goes to Venezuela and says, hey, you know that guy you elected? Yeah, he's not the. Look, a couple years ago, we said Juan Guaido's the president. They elected him by 60-some%, might I add, 64%. The president of Nicaragua, which has recently been voted one of the happiest places on earth. Okay, president of Nicaragua, Daniel Ortega, is one of the most popular leaders, like 74% of people there like him, right? United States has sanctions against him, and we call him a dictator. Isn't it weird how the dictators are always the people that in the countries, always, every time. It's always a country that for some reason the people there love him. And then the U.S. just says, hey, you know that president that you all love? Yeah, well, he's a dictator and you need to be freed from him. So I'm saying, if you believe weapons of mass destruction, if you believe that lie, I feel sorry for you, but at least it's a lie that's been used before to some level of what's the word I'm looking for? You know, it's success. They've used that, cooked that up, and it's been success. And it's kind of scary. Weapons of mass destruction is scary. You know, remember the whole Iraq thing? Don't let the evidence be a rush mushroom cloud. Yeah, you shouldn't have believed it, but okay, people can easily be scared. But if anybody thinks anywhere that the United States is involved in a conflict, anywhere on this earth, on the moon, on Mars, in space, in the clouds, under the sea, because we care about democracy or freeing people from a dictator, I can't respect you. Because there's no reason for that. That's like, I don't know, Santa Claus makes more sense. The country that has assassinated the most leaders, the country that has overthrown the most governments, the country right now is surrounding a country trying to overthrow the leader, the democratically elected leader of a country right now. But yet I'm supposed to go to another country. Well, you know, in Ukraine, it's all about stopping a dictator and freeing keeping the people of Ukraine free from democracy. Let me say this about this. I just can't respect you if you believe that. Let me say this about Barack Obama and Ukraine. I'm going to go here. Barack Obama, in my opinion, was a bad dude in that he came in and told us all this stuff and then did the same old warmongering, overthrowing government, starting war crap. I have no respect for him as a human being. However, I mean, overthrew the country of Libya, tried to overthrew Syria, overthrew Ukraine. I could go on and on and on of terrible things that Barack Obama did. Not a fan. Africa, the richest country in Africa, and cooked up a lie and overthrew that country. But he's an American president. So in the same way that I don't get overly excited about Trump, like some people, I don't get overly excited about being mad at, because you're the president in a way, but it's like being the head of the mafia. You're the head of the mafia. The United States is not, I've said it many a times, Americans think they're on a luxury liner. They're on a pirate ship. Look at the history of the United States. Look at the history of the British Empire. These are pirate ships. But I will say this about Barack Obama in the context of Ukraine. Two things. While Obama, I got my issues with him, here's what I will say about Obama. He was a very smart guy. You cannot deny his intellect. In fact, since 2000, we've had George W. Bush, who was a blithering idiot. We've had Trump, not the sharpest knife in the drawer. And we had Biden, and I literally know somebody that worked directly for Biden. I didn't think he was very smart. And the person who worked for him, that specifically worked for him, told me he wasn't very bright. He didn't come across as very bright to me. So for the most part, we had a bunch of people who were not intellectual giants this century so far. But I do think Barack Obama was. For all of my issues that I had with the things that he did, I will say this. He was an intellectual. He was a very smart guy. Was he a sellout for Wall Street? Sure. But he was a very smart guy. Why do I say that? Number of reasons. But I mean, you had to be blind not to realize how smart Barack Obama was. I don't care what you think about his policies. Whatever. You know what I mean? I'm not a person who I try to evaluate things logically. Right? Here's what I have to say. He got it right when it said he came to Ukraine. I would argue this. Barack Obama was 100% right when it came to Ukraine. What did Barack Obama say about Ukraine? Two things I'll give you. When they said to Barack Obama, we need to send weapons and arms to Ukraine and heavy weapons, and Barack Obama said, I will not do that. And they said, why? He said a couple of things. Number one, he said, was one of the worst things we could do is to make the Ukrainians think that they could defeat Russia. He said, Putin, now, you know, I don't believe in saying the name of a person instead of the country. I would say the Russians, but that ain't what he said. We'll always have how did he put it? Escalatory dominance in that region. No matter how much we escalate, the Russian military can escalate more because it is a superpower. I don't care what propaganda they give you about the Russians losing. Ask Hitler and Napoleon how that worked out. Ask Charles XII. You fight Russia, you lose. It's always been arguably the greatest land army on earth for centuries. But Barack Obama said, Ukraine is existential to Russia, but it will never be existential to us. He understood history. When Napoleon, when Hitler, when they all attacked Russia, they always went through Ukraine. Number one. Number two, the Russians said it. How about this? When Angela Merkel was the German chancellor, she said, if we bring Ukraine into NATO, the Russians will consider it an act of war. And they told us. John Mearsheimer, political analyst, well-known worldwide, said, they are leading Ukraine down the primrose path, and it will be destroyed. Everybody who knew anything about that region knew Ukraine was done, that the United States was setting Ukraine up and it was going to get smashed. And now Ukraine's getting smashed and people try to pretend like it wasn't. Barack Obama had it right. If they'd have listened to Barack Obama, this mess would have never happened. But Barack Obama got out, and for all of the things I have to disagree with him on, he was 100% right on Ukraine. And you know, the thing is, what's not talked about is Barack Obama's position. By the way, I want to thank a few people here. I want to thank Dwayne out in Capitol Heights. Thank you, Dwayne, major, major contributor. Thank you very much. I certainly appreciate Dwayne. I want to thank Friend in Hyattsville. Thank you very much, friends. Dwayne says, thank you, WPFW, for the information content. Keep it going. Steve says, keep up the alternative good news and views in College Park. Friend in Hyattsville, thank you very much. Hey, man, people are really making a big difference. And thank you very much, Dwayne in Capitol Heights. All right, everybody, the number is 202-588-9739, 202-588-9739. I certainly appreciate everybody, and make sure you call in and keep us going. Okay. So anyway, so here we sit. Here we sit. And I guess this, most folks don't know, haven't looked into the level of history. Like, if I was Paul, but Paul Robeson Jr. was my mentor. And I don't know how much you know about Paul Robeson, but he was a big superstar in Russia. And that was the way. Well, see, this is what I always say to black folks. You got to understand your history. W.E.B. Du Bois, where'd he die? In Ghana. What happened to W.E.B. Du Bois? The same thing that happened time and again. They accused him of being a Russian spy, a Soviet asset, tried him. He ends up leaving the country. Martin Luther King, when they were going after him, why were they going after him? Because he's a communist, he's a Russian spy. Did they get, basically, Paul Robeson, why? Oh, he's a Russian, whatever. It's just something that every black leader of note has been accused of. Love Russia, Russian bot. So I'm like, I have nothing against Russia. I have nothing against China. Let me put it to you like this. When the United States points to a specific country and says, Iraq is our enemy, I say, no, they ain't. When they say Afghanistan is our enemy, I say, no, they ain't. Venezuela's our, no, they ain't. Syria, no, they ain't. China, no, they ain't. When the United States points to a country every few years, it's a different one, and tells us that's the one that we're not supposed to like. And there is a certain part of a population that's just suckers, that when the next country comes up, they're going to say, okay, which country should I dislike now? Thank you, dear masters. And they'll say, okay. And now, and of course, as what usually happens, and what's going to happen with Zelensky, what's going to happen ultimately? What happened in Afghanistan when Ashraf Ghani, when Afghanistan fell apart? What happened? You might not know this story, but I'll tell you. He was the puppet leader that we put in charge, so-called in charge of Afghanistan. When Afghanistan fell, when we were running out of there, Ashraf Ghani was going to the airport. He took $160 million in U.S. cash. Money was falling. Satchels of money was falling out of the truck he was on as he made it, was driving across the tarmac to get on a tarmac to get on a plane to go to the U United Arab Emirates. He just basically took every dime he could. That's what's going to happen to Zelensky if he lives. If Zelensky lives, he's going to take a bunch of stolen money and he's going to book on out of Ukraine, our money, and run with it every time. That's what's going to happen. I mean, I don't anybody could expect anything different. They'll argue with me, oh, Garland, you're a fool. Oh, Russia's evil. Putin's a dictator, blah, blah, blah. I've been through that. Every country, and then the United States will make friends with Russia and go do some deal with them. It's going to happen. And then they'll say, okay, it's time to stand up against China. And then all you'll see 24 hours a day is another China weather balloons coming after us. That's why I'm like, Americans are such suckers. The country, the United States could literally, a weather balloon flew over, a Chinese weather balloon. You remember that 2 years ago? And the weather balloon, the Chinese had literally told us a week before, hey, we have this weather balloon, seems to have gotten loose, it's heading in your direction. The weather balloon flew over. The United States then said, there's a Chinese spy balloon. It was a weather balloon that the Chinese had told us a week before it was coming. Then they shot it down with an F-35. Yes, we shot a weather balloon. Oh boy, that was a great military feat. And they put it all on TV. And then it crashed into the ocean and they said, we're unable to retrieve it. You really believe that? That they shot a weather balloon over like Missouri somewhere, I don't know, with Montana or something, and it crashed into the ocean and they couldn't retrieve it. Really? It was a weather balloon. They kind of admitted it, but Americans were like, the Chinese are out to get why? Because it's China's turn. We're supposed to hate China. And if you're supposed to hate China, there'll be weather balloons. Then they'll tell you they're taking their jobs. They're run by a dictator. Don't ever forget that. I will guarantee you that. They're run by a dictator. We've got to save them from this dictator. And now it's Maduro, the dictator. He got a lot of oil, but of course he's got a dictator because he's got a lot of oil. I don't understand Americans. There's an old saying, a nature, what is it? A nation of sheep begets a government of wolves. If the American people will allow this over and over, not just allow it, but I've had people call me, you heard them. Hey, Garland, yes, I'm tired of you coming on. Don't you know Putin's a dictator? I'm like, let me guess, you're a diehard Democrat. Because if you're a Democrat, you got to believe that. I don't believe any of it. Right now, they are going after Venezuela. It's not because Maduro is a dictator. It's not because they're trying to stop drugs. It's because Venezuela is full of oil. It's always oil. It's always lithium. It's always gold. It's always copper. It's always something. That's what pirates do. Let me ask you this. If a pirate ship, the Jolly Roger, was going along, and he's like, well, look at that. There's a ship, Captain Blackbeard. What are they trying to get off that ship? They're trying to go on the ship and steal their gold. That's what the pirates want. Gold. It's always gold. Now, as they used to say in the Beverly Hillbillies, oil is black gold, Texas tea. They're there to steal. And right now, they're in Venezuela to steal. And, of course, Ukraine is all about stealing Russia's oil, getting control of it. It's the same game everywhere in the world. It's the same game everywhere in the world. And as I said, Barack Obama, they hide what he said. They won't look it up. Research what Barack Obama said. He refused. Here's what's interesting. Here's the truth. Donald Trump says, if I were the president, the Ukraine war would never have happened. Well, I don't know if that's true or not. But I tell you one thing I can guarantee you. If Barack Obama was president, the Ukraine war would have never happened. For all of my issues with Barack Obama, he got that 100% right. He wouldn't send any, he wouldn't arm him. He would not arm Ukraine. He wouldn't do it. And what did he say? Nope. The worst thing we could do is make Ukraine think that they could defeat the Russian army. Not going to happen. He wasn't doing it. Well, as soon as he got out of office, they started sending them. But they didn't do it while he was in office. And what else did he say? Barack Obama said, Ukraine will always be existential to Russia, but it will never be existential to us. That was Obama. He was right. I will complain about the things Barack Obama did. It wasn't say any of them. Trump, I don't care who it is. If I don't care who the person is, if a person says something I disagree with, I'll say I disagree with it. If they say something I agree with, I will agree with it. Barack Obama had it 100% right. And now they don't bring that back up. They don't bring it up that he got it right. They don't bring it up that he had a whole different take on this. You notice he's been quiet. Ever since he left office, Obama has been, they can't get nothing of him about Ukraine. You know why? Because they're going against what he told them. And if Barack Obama says anything, you know what he's going to say about Ukraine? I told you so. He's going to say, I told y'all not to do that. You wouldn't listen to me, would you? Now Trump gets to say it wouldn't have happened if it was me, when the true person that can say that behind closed doors is Barack Obama. And the rest of these schmutzes, to use a Yiddish term, can't figure out that they've screwed up. And now, you know, you see where it's going. You see the direction that is going. It's going in a bad direction. And one of the things that's interesting, too, is to watch Europe. It's interesting to watch Europe. It's interesting to watch politics and the direction that politics are going. I'll tell you why. And that is because, I have some notes here. I lost my notes. That's because what's happening, one of the things I think that's going on in international politics, economics, military, etc., is this. The battle between narratives, right, and empirical observations and real things. For instance, there are people that believe reality is about my ideas. Reality is about what I think. Reality is about what I believe. Reality is about what I say. Reality is about what I put forward, right? This was the old, what was it, Aristotle versus Socrates, I believe it was. Reality is about what I say, what I think, what I believe, right? And there are those who believe that reality is about what I can touch, what I can feel, right? Empirical observations. And right now, as an example, in Europe, we've got NATO and the European Union saying things. We're more united than ever. They're saying they're more united than ever, but they're not. We're going to win in Ukraine. They don't have a chance of winning in Ukraine. They're saying things that if we could just do this, Ukraine can hold. Ukraine can't hold on. It's getting smashed. It has no point. So they're saying things that are at odds with reality. They're using narratives that are at odds with reality. And I think one of the things that we're seeing in our present time is a battle now, the battle between people who believe ideas and narratives are reality and people who believe that empirical observations, things you can touch, things you can see, things you can feel are reality. Now, as a man who studies Zen, I could easily make the observation, of course, as a man who studies Zen, that both of them are true, right? Study Zen, you know, it's all good enough. It's all good enough for me. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, if you go to philosophy, right, it's metaphysical realities, things beyond metaphysical, above physicality, things that you believe that are beyond the physical world, right? That was Plato, beyond the physical world, metaphysical. That's reality. That's narratives. That's things I can talk about, that things I believe, as opposed to Aristotle, empirical observation. Practical realism, they called it, right? That's science. Science is practical realism, things I can touch, feel, and prove. Whereas the idealism is things I believe, metaphysical realities, you know what I mean? Things that are above physical, right? Now, there's an argument for both. For instance, people talk about manifestation, that you can believe something and make it true. Well, I know that's a fact because I've had it happen in my life. Right. That you can just say, this is what I want. This is what I'm going to do. This is where I'm going to go. I believe that's going to happen and you can make it happen. Well, I know that's true because I've done that in my life. That's why how I got on PFW, believe it or not, if I told you the story. But I probably have. But there's a limit to that in that when you're dealing, I'll put it to you like this. In economics. Right. If you look at economics, let me give you an example. I was talking to somebody the other day. I got an interview and they said, why do you think that the West did all of these sanctions on Russia and the sanctions didn't work and it didn't hurt Russia? I said, that's easy. OK. Sanctions and things like that are about theoretical money. You know, in the one of the things that we deal with a lot is we deal with Wall Street. We deal with asset-backed securities and derivatives and all of these financial tools that we don't even know what they are. We don't even, most of the time, most people know kind of asset-backed securities. We know you can take a pound of gold, you can take $1 million worth of gold, and you can sell it five different ways for $50 million, but you still, in reality, only got $1 million worth of gold. And if all of the people come together and say, I want to cash in my asset-backed securities and this and that, you really don't have the $50 million. You've sold $50 million worth of gold, I mean, $1 million worth of gold in 50 different ways, right? It's not real. Okay, that's finance capitalism. That's what we do in finance capitalism. You dream up exotic ways to sell the same thing over and over by calling it different things. Then you do credit default swaps and all these things, which are very complicated. But if you get down to them, they kind of really aren't real. And that's why our economy keeps collapsing every so often. Whereas you take a country that sells oil, gas, nickel, wheat, coal, timber, you can't really sanction those things but so much for a major country like Russia because people need them. So you can sanction them, but they still have people. As Chris Rock used to say about a drug dealer, he said people don't sell drugs, they offer them. They offer drugs and people come to them because they want them. It's what's the term in business is called? Market insistence, they call it. People come to you for what they want. The market will come to you. If you got gas and oil and all the stuff that Russia has, you can sanction them, which means you could take something they made before, but they still got plenty of stuff to sell and everybody needs it because they got so much of it. And so countries will say to you, yeah, I know you want me not to buy stuff from Russia, but I need wheat, I need gas, I need oil, I need all of these things. So the sanctions didn't work. Why? Because in the real world of hard things, the Africans said right off the bat, we buy all of our wheat from Russia. I'm sorry, we can't stop or we'll starve. And the leaders in Africa said, if my people starve, they're going to kill me and throw me out of office. So can't do that. So they're still selling stuff. So it became sanctioning people who have real stuff to sell. And it didn't work. It was a reminder to people that economically, I don't care how many asset-backed securities and derivatives and credit default swaps you need, when you go to the store and you put groceries in a cart, the wealth is in a cart. You got a card in your hand. You can't eat that card. The wealth is in your cart. When you go to the restaurant, you read the menu, you look at the menu, you can't eat the menu. Do not mistake the menu for the food. Do not mistake credit default swaps, derivatives, and asset-backed securities for coal and timber and wheat and copper and nickel and gas and oil. Don't mistake those things. And when you start looking at that, that's reality. And that's when the world was awakened again to realize that initially there was a guy who had sugar, and there was a guy on this farm had chicken, and a guy on this farm had corn, and they traded chicken for corn. And at some point they were trading so much chicken for corn that they said, well, let's make these shells, shall we say, that was going to be the money. These will be representative of corn and this or chicken. And then they trade shells, and that represented so many. There's a famous saying about money that goes like this. All the countries of the world got together and they decided to put all of their gold, that's the gold reserves of all of their countries, on an island. And they were in this big vault. And they put all the gold. And that way, if a country wanted to buy something from another country, they would call over to the island, and a guy who controlled it would put the gold on a little cart, and he'd trundle it over, and he'd put it in the vault for the other country. And it was easy. You call over here, hey, I just bought $100 million worth of wheat. Take the gold and put it over in Canada's vault. And that's the way they did it. So after a while, the leaders of some of the countries decided to visit the island. It was a beautiful island. They brought their families, and their kids came, and they said, Dad, we'd like to see the gold. Can we see the gold? Oh, we've never seen a lot of gold. And they said, that's a good idea, son. Kids, let's go see the gold. So they went to the guy in charge, and they said, we'd like to see the gold. And he says, gold? You want a silly old gold? I'll take you to a beach. Why would you want to see some boring old gold? Nobody looks at that anymore. So they went to the beach. Next day, they came back. They said, the kids are still bugging us. We need to see the gold. How about the waterfall? So they took them to the waterfall that day. The kids, oh, they had a joy. And the next day they came back. They said, look, we're getting a little worried here. We've asked you twice and you won't let us see the gold. And the guy says, we need to have a meeting. They go around and they get behind a clump of trees. He says, look, guys, he says, about a year ago, we had a terrible earthquake. The earth opened up and swallowed up the whole vault. All the gold is gone. There is no gold. It's all gone. You're all broke. And they all said, what are we going to do? And one of the guys says, look, don't tell anybody. We'll just keep acting as like the gold is there and nobody will know it's gone and everything will work fine. They all shook hands and left. There was no gold. You get my point? It's an obvious point. There didn't need to be gold. Why? Because the gold was representative of the wealth. And the gold on Wall Street is asset-backed securities. Now, with asset-backed securities and derivatives and credit vault swaps, we don't even pretend like there's gold anymore. We don't even pretend like there's gold. Only, you know, we have a word for it and some decimals in a computer. That's what we're dealing with. This is a finance capital system. Guess what? You know why we shut down all of the factories? We shut them down because this is a finance capital. You don't need factories. I'll go one better. Let me give you one better, something you never thought about. You wonder why you look around and you say, man, our roads are all lumpy. They're terrible. Hey, we need to redo the electric grid. Government, redo the electric grid. They won't do it. Oh, I know. How about our roads and bridges? We need to redo that. They won't touch it. How about the tunnel? Nothing. They will not do anything for our electric grid. Why is that? You ever think about that? Let me explain why. When we had gigantic corporations all over the place building things, those corporations needed the infrastructure. They needed good bridges to transport the stuff. They needed good ports to send the stuff out. They needed good electrical grid so that all this good electricity could come to their factories and everything could run. They needed the infrastructure for the industry. So they built infrastructure so that the industry would have infrastructure. Once the industry was offshored, they ain't building it for you. They ain't building it for me. They didn't build it for you and me in the first place. They built it for the rich folks that own the industry so they could make a fortune. They made their fortune. They moved their industry overseas so they could make a double fortune, and they won't build the industry. All we've got, infrastructure. All we have left in infrastructure is what is rotting and rusting and molding away from when we had industry and the government would build for the industrial billionaire giants who needed it. Now that you need it, you ain't getting it. Oh, by the way, our schools, you know what they needed? They needed educated people to work in the factories, to be middle management in the factories, to be upper management. They don't need the educated people to say, would you like to supersize that, sir? They don't need educated people to work at Royal Farms and Starbucks. No, they just, you need to know the difference between medium, small, and large. That's all you need to know. And now, look at our school system. Gone to crap. You know why? Because those billionaires don't need it. They don't do it for you. They don't care about you. When they start these wars, you know what they say? Let's start another war for whatever, democracy. And when you look at it, and there's another 400, 300, 200 billions gone to Ukraine. Oh, we've just, what is it? What was it? 11 billion now to Taiwan, and billions of this and billions of that. What kills me? Yes, we're selling $1 billion worth of weapons to so-and-so, and you find out we give that country $2 billion a year in foreign aid, and we sell them $1 billion worth of weapons. Why? Because the other billions get stolen. The other billion gets spread around amongst the criminals. And then we say, yes, we sold $1 billion to that country. We gave them $1 billion and they gave it back. And then the other billion got schnookered. That's the game. So I'm just throwing it out there. If you really believe this stuff, that the United States is going somewhere, anywhere for democracy, God bless you. That's the best I can say. Love you. You're wonderful. God bless you. Maybe someday you'll wake up. Maybe not. Anyway, let me continue. So we are in Fun Drive, and being in Fun Drive, you know, I'm allowed to say stuff like that. Isn't that fantastic for those who might like to hear it or those who might not like to hear it? There are people who are mad at me. Garland, you're telling me that the government's lying to me again. So sick of you coming on every week saying that the government's lying to me when you know they're telling me the truth. If you're saying that, God bless you too. I hope you have a Merry Christmas season. But my point is, WPFW allows me to say unpopular things. You know, when it comes to the First Amendment, people forget this about the First Amendment. The First Amendment specifically protects unpopular speech. You don't need First Amendment protection to say the government's wonderful and they're telling you the truth. But you do need it to say they're lying to you and you're being had. And that's what the First Amendment is for. And we at the at WPFW cherish the First Amendment because it allows people, you know, I don't know if you know, Pacifica, you know what that's about? You know why? It's not the Pacific. It's not the Pacifica network is not about the Pacific Ocean. It's that the people who started it were pacifists. They were anti-war. The foundation of Pacifica, when it was started, was an anti-war network, opposed to war. And to be opposed to war is to be opposed to the empire, to imperialism, which is a whole other story. So because WPFW is such a fantastic resource, it gives us the opportunity to come on and say these kinds of things. It gives you the opportunity to listen to these kinds of things. So here's what I have to say. The number is 202-588-9739. Let me start by thanking Steve in College Park, by thanking Friend in Hyattsville, and definitely thanking my main man, Dwayne, in Capitol Heights for a major contribution. I really appreciate that. Now, 202-588-9739. 7239 is the number. And as I've said, it is the holiday season. And it's cold outside. Some colder some days than others. Man, we had I just moved last week, right? Sold my house and moved. And let me tell you something. For some reason, when I started moving, is when the weather went to absolute freezing, and then it was cold. And now, I finished Wednesday pretty much, and now it's warming up. Just my luck, right? But there's a lot of people that don't have a place to go to warm up to, or barely warming up, or the only way they warm up is they turn on the heater in their car. And they're sitting there. There's people right now that live in their car, that are right now sitting in their car listening to WPFW. There's people homeless. There's people in shelters listening to WPFW 89.3 FM. And they're fortunate that they can listen to us. They listen to the music. Oh, Robin is coming on next. Robin, I always listen to Robin. Her music is fantastic. Absolutely soothes a savage beast like me. Robin's just wonderful. And she's got the greatest voice on radio. You got to admit that. But people get to listen to that. And, you know, if you're in a car somewhere cold, hey, listen to Robin's music. It's pretty darn good. It maybe, you know, keep you relaxed for a while, make you feel good. A little bit of joy in life. We need a little bit of joy in life, even the suffering. So what I'm asking is, those who can't afford it, call 202-588-9739, 202-588-9739. And I got to add this, as always, it's a thank you for the people who have donated. They definitely have taken that to heart. And that is to keep in mind, those who are sitting in a car, those who are sitting in a tent, those who don't know how they're going to eat, don't know how they're going to pay their bills, don't have quite enough, no gifts for Christmas. They ain't got no gifts for Christmas. They don't know how they're going to pay their rent. There's many people listening right now like that. And there are people like you who are listening, who are in good shape financially, who, for whatever reason, you're sitting pretty. And you know it. And you're like, yeah, I'm Garland, you're telling the truth. You ain't lying. I am sitting pretty. And you're like, and I could donate $100, $500,000, it wouldn't bother me. I'm good. And you know who you are. And some of us have already done that today. Steve, friend, and Dwayne, thank you all so dearly. But you know, you're listening and you're like, yeah, you're right. Oh, Catherine in Rockville says, thanks, Garland. There you go. Catherine stepping up to the plate. 202-588-9739. Thank you very much, Catherine. So we got Steve, friend, Dwayne, and Catherine. Oh, isn't this awesome? And, you know, at this point, it's almost the end of the year. And, you know, I don't know why. What is it? They call it the Christmas spirit, whatever the case may be, the Hanukkah spirit, the whatever spirit. It's a time when people think about their friends and brotherly love. It's a time when people think about, you know, the less fortunate because the weather's bad and it's difficult and some people are struggling. And it's a time when you can say to yourself, you know, look, think about this. You walk down the street and you see a brother. And he's asking for money. There's people that'll go, no, because he'll use it for drugs or alcohol, which I don't agree. I don't believe in that. You don't know what he's going to use it for. But there are people that say that. Well, let me tell you something. You know, if you call 202-588-9739, that money ain't going to be used for drugs and alcohol. There's no excuse. There's no, well, I can't donate that because I don't know. You know what the money's going to be used for. There's a lot of volunteers here. The PFW can stay on the air because we have volunteers. We have people that do this for nothing. And we have, you know, a skeleton crew, a few people who are paid very modestly, I might add. To me, they're almost volunteers because they're not paid a lot of money for the amount of talent that they have. But they have a love for WPFW, and we have to take care of that, and we have to take care of them. And we got to take care of the people that ain't got nothing. And it's that time of year. And it's almost the end of the year. So, you know, you certainly want to make sure that so those of us who may look at it and say, hey, it's tax time. Here's $1,000 for WPFW. There you go. So the number again is 202-588-0893. 202-588-9739. 202-588-9739. And, you know, for all my gripes and grumbles about Trump, Lord knows I have many. As I said about Obama, for all my gripes, you know me, I'm a guy who does not trust the government, doesn't trust, you know, see the government as a terrible entity. But as I said about Obama, I was very, very happy with his position on Ukraine, and he was right. Trump, let me say this about Trump. I think he's losing it. Did you listen to the speech the other night? I think Look, we got to stop bringing these presidents in office that have lost their fastball, shall we say. I watched Biden in 2008, and in 2008, he ate Paul. What's the guy's name? Oh, I can't remember the guy's name. The guy was a young guy, and he was the House, the head of the House, right? Biden ate him alive. Ate him alive. Now, I got my issues with all of these politicians, but Biden ate him alive. Biden was sharp as a nail. But when Biden came in 2020, he was sharp as a bowling ball. He was done. And now we bring Trump in. And I watch Trump, and he's rambling like it just doesn't even make sense anymore. And I'm like, why? It is like to me an indication of that this empire is falling apart when we keep bringing these guys, getting these guys in office that don't even seem like they know where they are from day to day. I listen to Trump and I don't know what he's talking about. Now, what I mean is this. I didn't agree with his policies in 2017 through 2020. Didn't agree with them. Ideologically opposed to almost all of them. But at least he sounded like he had some sense. He sounded like he was advocating for bad policies like he knew what they were. Now he's still advocating for bad policies, but I'm not sure he knows what he's advocating for. There we are again. Who are we going to put in next? How do we find? I mean, we're on a bad roll here. As I said, I don't know what's going to happen, for God's sake. I just hope we stay out of nuclear war. How's that? I will be happy if we can stay out of nuclear war. That'll be a good thing. Let's see how we're looking here. Oh, okay. Don't forget 202-588-9739. 202-588-9739. And let's see, we got about 15 minutes left, so we got plenty of time for you to call in and keep us going. So if we could get in another, say $1,000, if we can get another $1,000, albeit someone who happens to say, you know what? I think I'll just call in and do $1,000 on my own, 202-588-9739, or maybe two people at 500, or maybe 10 people at 100. Whatever you can do. Is if we've got another friend from Chevy Chase, thank you. Wow, people are calling in. They're starting to move. 202-588-9739. And this time of year, look, WPFW is a pretty good asset. How many places can you go in the United States where you can hear people rant and ramble about whatever they want? You can hear people come on and just say things that are absolutely unacceptable in a civilized society, right? And what I mean by this is unacceptable when it comes to the mainstream media. We ain't the mainstream media. And you know what? To me, it's great because I've heard people, I have friends who don't agree with me on politics. So, oh, Garland, I listened to you last week and I don't agree with anything you said. And I said, excellent. Thank you for listening. Because I do, I've always said this, I listen to things that I agree with and I listen to things that I don't agree with. I got a lot of books sitting behind me that I read. I've read books. Now, I have read a couple that I've got about a quarter of the way through the book and said, you've got to be kidding me. I'm reading this trash. But I've read a lot of books that were far, that had some areas in it that I thought were really crap, that were really good books. I could say one of them was by Martin E. Lee called The Beast Reawakens. It was about what happened to the Nazis after World War II. I read a lot of stuff about that. Another one was called, oh gosh, was it The American Axis? It was about Henry Ford, who was about the worst anti-Semite on history, Charles Lindbergh, who literally was a Nazi, and a couple of other people in history that we didn't know that were like totally not total Nazis. But it was a very good book. But it had some holes in it, right? So my point is, you might listen to a show like me, and you might disagree with five of the things I say and disagree and agree with one or none of them. But I appreciate people listening, and that's what WPFW is about. You can listen to, I listen to shows sometimes, and sometimes I say, hey, this one's great. Sometimes I say, I don't know what that joker's talking about. I disagree with it. I'm so happy to have that all on the air. And then, of course, we got Robin, who's never wrong because she plays the best music. So there's so many options that you have. So please, now, we only got a few minutes left. It's 202-588-9739. This is going to be the last time I'm on for Christmas. So after listening to me all year, you can say, you know what? I have not given Garland a Christmas gift. I don't have a candy cane. I don't have a stocking. I don't have a gift certificate for the local dispensary, all things which he would be happy to take. So what I'll do is I'll call in WPFW 89.3 FM and I will donate a pile of loot and Garland will be just as happy almost as happy as if I'd gave him all of the other three things combined. So how's that? Actually, and all jokes aside, I don't do much sugar, so the candy canes probably wouldn't work. But any of the other options would be pretty nice if you really want the truth. But at any rate, so I think that I'm happy that we've gotten to the end of the year and we haven't been nuked yet. So that's a good thing. I'm hoping that what's happening in Venezuela is terrible. As you know, I've been to Venezuela. I've traveled a lot in Venezuela. I know a lot about Venezuela. And I'm hoping that there's no, I'll put it like this. My prediction when it comes to Venezuela is the United States won't attack. I've been saying that all along. I don't think the United States attacks Venezuela. You know, I don't think so, because it would be, I think there's a lot of bluffing, but I don't think the U.S. can attack Venezuela, to be quite frank, because the options would be what? Number one, what would the U.S. do? We got 16,000 ground troops. Venezuela is the size of Germany and France combined. Trust me when I tell you this, 16,000 ground troops is not going to get it done. You could take a small town on the coast, maybe, but that's about it. So there's not really a ground force option for Venezuela. Number two, it's huge. So, okay, let's say they've got a bunch of ships and Tomahawks. I read somewhere that the ships and all the things together have about 250 Tomahawks. A country that big, I mean, you could throw the Tomahawks at them and maybe fly some bombing runs. But by now, you know, the Venezuelans have had like 2 months to prepare. You know, they moved everything out of their bases. You know, everything is moved, everything is hidden, and they are prepared for the U.S. They have had time to prepare for bombing. Things are underground. So really, if the United States bombed Venezuela for a while, it probably wouldn't do a whole lot of damage because they moved everything militarily. And then what? Let's say you bomb Venezuela. And then what? You don't have troops to put on the ground. 16,000 troops ain't going to get it done. I put it like this. 500,000 troops couldn't get it done in Vietnam. Venezuela is three times the size of Vietnam. So it's not an option. I think the U.S. bluffs. I think the U.S. does everything they can to try to steal the oil. I think it's a trap right now, and the U.S. is stuck there. And what are they going to do? If Trump just walks away, then the Venezuelans are going to say, ha, 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 stay away, gringos, and don't come back, which I hope they do. But I don't see another option for the U.S. It's possible, but I think it's a lot. But I could be wrong. They could be bombing them tomorrow. But I personally think it's a bluff, because even if they bomb Venezuela for a couple days or a couple of weeks, and then what? They got to go home sooner or later. You can't bomb them forever. And it ain't going to change the government. I've been to Caracas. There's only a couple roads in, and there's mountains on all sides. You put troops going in to that, and now cities in the mountains. And there's jungles, by the way, all around, everywhere. It's just not a place that you ever want to get into a ground war. Ever want to get into a ground war. So I maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they will. I think there's a lot of bluffing going on. But this is just another option where the move where the U.S. wants to steal the oil, and let's hope they're not able to do it. But understand something. If the U.S. can't steal oil from Venezuela, trust me, they won't give up. There's plenty of other countries that have oil and lithium and other things, and the U.S. will try to steal theirs next. And they'll tell you, we have to go. Think of a country with oil. I don't know, wherever. Hey, there's a country over there with oil. And you're not going to believe this, but their leader's a dictator. And we've got to bring up democracy. You ever notice that? You got some oil. The U.S. has got some democracy for you. Anyway, let me go back to this. I'm just about out. I want to thank my main man, Kalia, who does a fantastic job. I want to thank Steve, friend, Dwayne, Catherine, and friend. And Dwayne really stepped up to the plate from Capitol Heights. He says, thank you, WPFW, for the informative content. Keep it going. I want to thank all y'all for doing what you have to do. We have about 7 minutes left, 8 minutes left, so-called 202-588-9739. We need about another $1,000 if we can get it. That would be fantastic to help keep us on the air. So I appreciate it. Merry Christmas to Garland. Call in 202-588-9739. I am now out, but I'm going to play a song from good old DJ Spin. It's interesting. You know, he's a great club guy, but every now and then he does that kind of disco thing that just sounds so good. Let's go.
WPFW Washington 89.3 FM. Out.